All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.
Hello again, listeners. Welcome to another episode of All the Rage, and I have another interview guest. Hello, dear interview guest. Please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, thank you for that. My name is Holly. I work in a church in Harrow on the Hill called Our Lady in St. Thomas of Canterbury, and I'm a pastoral assistant there, which is a bit of a weird title, but it basically means getting involved with the life of the local community, not just the church, but any sort of anyone really in the local Harrow area. So it's a job that covers many different areas, I suppose.
Okay, that's what we're going to talk about, a lot of those areas now. Let's start with let's talk about homelessness. It is, as I said to you off air, it's a subject that this program comes back to a lot, because it's something that both myself and Dave care about a great deal. And of course, you and I first met by putting on a little dinner on Christmas Day. How did that all come about? What motivated you to set that up? How much support did you have from others to do it? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so I have grown up in Harrow my whole life, and have always been really sort of shocked by the kind of how many homeless people there are, just even in sort of Harrow town centre. And when I started working in the church a couple of years ago, we started a partnership with another church down in Harrow, St. John's Baptist Church. It's called the Welcome Centre, and it was just a drop-in centre for anyone in the area who, not necessarily homeless, but isolated, lonely, just anyone who was on their own, that they could drop in twice a week and have tea and coffee and just a chance to chat and to offload to people in kind of an informal setting. But then last year, Christmas before last, 2017, on Christmas Day, a couple of the guests who were coming to the centre were getting quite worried about Christmas Day, because a lot of sort of homeless places in the area were closed on Christmas Day, Boxing Day. So they were kind of thinking, where are we going to go? And it ended up that we had to turn some people away because there just wasn't anything in the local area that could take them at short notice. So myself and the team there at the centre just thought, you know, we've got to be able to do something about that. And we started thinking about this about a year and a half ago. And then it just kind of snowballed from there, really, that we realised we had a big space up in Harrow on the Hill. We had a big scout hut where we could host people. Obviously, Harrow on the Hill's quite an affluent area, so we had a lot of support from parishioners and just residents of Harrow on the Hill who sort of caught wind of the lunch. Loads and loads of people offering to volunteer in many different ways, with cooking, with transport, with gifts. We were overrun with people, really, and it just kind of really opened my eyes up to the fact that, you know, there's so many people in the area who really want to help but are just kind of looking for a place to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I came to it by, I can't entirely remember, actually. My girlfriend found it, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
But I'd been working on and off with Crisis for Christmases for a little while now. Yeah. And it was good. Go on.
Sorry. With places like Crisis and the Red Cross and things like that, a lot of them get really oversubscribed, because I know that a lot of young people in the area were saying, oh, you know, we tried to volunteer up in Euston, or we tried to do all these various different things, but we're actually getting turned away. And it felt like a shame that, you know, that there's people who are so close to Harrow who want to be able to help others, or particularly sort of around Christmas time, and didn't have the option to do that. So that was another sort of motivation to doing one in Harrow, is that more people could get involved, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've noticed, and I wonder if you've noted this, as you say, living in Harrow all your life. And I live in the next borough along, but I'm in and out of Harrow a lot. And it seems to me like, I mean, I remember as a youth in the early 90s or so, I remember the one homeless bloke in Harrow, and it seems to me like it's absolutely exploded in the last couple of years. The numbers have gone up to a ridiculous level. And speaking, as we have done on this show before, also with a good friend of the show, Pamela Fitzpatrick, who's a counsellor and also works for the Harrow Law Centre, it does seem like the numbers are going up. Have you noticed that yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I walk into work every day. So, I mean, you kind of, as you say, you get to know a couple of people and you get to know their faces, and I'll stop and have a chat with some of them. But, you know, even from where I work, we're getting more and more people coming and knocking on the door and just saying, you know, is there anywhere, you know, we can stay? And is there anything on for to be able to get some food? And I've actually noticed, particularly in the last couple of years, that it just seems to have been, as you say, kind of exploding. And even with the Welcome Centre in Harrow, the numbers have just been rising and rising. It is shocking because it leaves you feeling a bit helpless sometimes, because you feel like, you know, you can try and do your bit, but then how do we, you know, get these people back into their lives without, you know, how do you do that? It's tough.
Yeah, I'm also interested in something that you have mentioned, that the places like the Welcome Centre do, which is to focus on something that we don't all always see, which is, it's not just about kind of street homelessness. It's about, as you've pointed out, vulnerable people, maybe those who live in a situation of being very alone. Reaching out to those people, I imagine, is a little more difficult. In a weird way, kind of more difficult to find. Is that the case, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, no, it can be. I think with having the Welcome Centre, at first it seemed to be a place where it was more kind of homeless people were coming in. But I think as more people in the area have kind of caught wind of it, you do get people in more who are just lonely. But I think it's often more uncomfortable for them in some situations, because it's kind of harder to admit that, you know, I have a house, or I'm reasonably kind of settled in many ways, but I just feel alone. I feel isolated. My family aren't around, things like that. It's, you know, it seems to be kind of that those are the people who maybe feel more nervous about coming to events where they can meet people. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, the one good thing through the church that we have as well is we have a group who try and sort of reach out to maybe families who are not homeless, but kind of really struggling and, you know, have issues with anything really, mental health, money, whatever the case may be, and sort of to get in touch with them and to try and help them to work through those issues. And part of our Christmas lunch, we had, as you probably remember, we had a lot of families there who'd come with their children, and it was really heartbreaking, actually, because afterwards a lot of these parents were kind of saying, you know, we feel guilty sort of coming along to something like this, because we do technically have a home, but, you know, we're struggling. And so it is harder to, as you say, to identify these people, because I suppose they're not maybe as forthcoming.
Also, I think they're involved in wider socio-political situations of, if I can call it this as kind of a loose term, the new poverty, which doesn't look quite the same as the old one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
It's something I try and communicate to people when I can, is that it's, you know, it's not a question of kids with broken shoes anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't look like that.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the better points about doing what you do, because it reaches out into the entire community. In fact, on that, I was wondering, like, to ask you a little more specifically about community outreach. How do you go about that? Or do you kind of sit down with a plan, as it were, for this is what we are going to do, this is what we can't do, this is where we draw the line, who do we get? And then how do you kind of do it practically?
I wouldn't say really we had a plan as such. I think with some of the things we do, so for example, with the Welcome Centre, it was just a case of various different people coming to me and to, you know, other people who are involved in the church and kind of just saying, what do we do? How can we do anything to help? And it just came about very organically, really, because a few of the people who are involved, who are kind of maybe the core team who started helping there, we had a lady who's been involved with kind of bereavement counselling, and she's done counselling her whole life, had other people who, you know, have experience kind of working with homeless charities, things like that. But so, you know, we had a good basis of people who had a good bank of skills, but we didn't have a plan, basically. We just thought, if we can open this up to people twice a week and just put some tables up, have some tea and coffee, that's a start, and then we can see kind of where the need develops from there. So that is initially how it started, that in Harrow on the Hill, in Harrow, just opposite Debenhams, the church there, they just literally opened their doors on a Wednesday and a Saturday, and we spoke about it, we mentioned it to the local church and to various different communities, and they put forward people who would come and just help. So we just made a rota and people were coming in, and then really from there we've been able to see how we can develop that, and obviously come across our own limitations as well, but through just having the doors open, we've noticed that there's a lot of people who come to the Welcome Centre who are, you know, wanting to contact family and aren't able to. So one of the things that we did was get a couple of laptops. We got a grant from a charity called Caritas. So we were able to get a couple of laptops, so that meant that when people came in, they could contact family and, you know, check any job applications, things like that, check emails. We're also looking at having a couple of sort of just completely volunteers, but specialists, sort of mortgage advisors, money people, all of that kind of jazz, coming in and doing workshops every so often, kind of on practical skills to kind of help people, and people to help with writing CVs and things like that. But I think it was less, like when we first started, we didn't have these ideas of, oh, we want to, you know, have workshops for people, or we want to be putting things on at Christmas or Easter or whatever it was. We just thought, let's just open it up. Let's just, if we can find a space, if we can find people and we can get times to do it, that's the start. And then we can kind of see where we roll from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, perfectly. I mean, I'm interested in what you say there, because it seems like there was your bank of skills, as you put it, which is a very good term, grew because of the people that happened to volunteer for you. Mm. Well, I mean, just to do it quickly, are they some of or most of the people, are they volunteers? I mean, are they church parishioners, or are they people you know otherwise outside of all of that?
Well, both, really. I mean, the initial people we had were generally churchgoers from various different churches, so not just the church where I'm at, but just various different ones in the area, because that was our kind of first space of advertising, I suppose. It was the easiest way to let people know about what we were doing. But from that, a lot of the volunteers from the churches have obviously just spoken about it to their friends or to their family. And we've got, their family members coming in, people they work with coming in. And I think, you know, even though I mentioned kind of a core bank of skills, everyone who comes in brings something to it and makes you think about things a little bit differently. Like, for example, we had one of our original volunteers, her husband came in and he was saying, you know, we should have more practical stuff going on here. And he went and got, you know, adult coloring books and games and a radio and things like that, just because I think when you first start it off, you've got your plan, but it's so handy to have all these different views come in and say, yeah, we could be doing a bit more with this, or we, you know, why don't we do whatever. So yeah, it's a real mix. It is a real mix. So we're really lucky with that.
So on a practical level, how does the kind of arrangement work? Do you have any kind of leadership method? I mean, like, are you in charge of the Welcome Centre? Do people bring you ideas, or is there like a board or a committee or something?
Yeah. So there's kind of a steering group, sort of the, I suppose, yeah, maybe like the core team. I'm reluctant to say core leadership team, but the core kind of team, which is myself and five other members. And so I suppose when people have ideas, they probably more often than not come to me or come to a guy called Barry, who's the reverend of the church where we use the space in Harrow. And then those ideas are just floated amongst all of us. But, you know, a lot of the volunteers have been, because as I said, the Welcome Centre has been going for 3 years now. And a lot of those volunteers have been there from the start. So even though they're not kind of on the core team, they will just mention things to me, and straight away I know they're a good idea, so they can just start implementing them straight away, really. So yeah, it's very collaborative, and it's very relaxed and informal. And you know, if anyone has an idea, even if they don't help out, we float it and we kind of see how we could make it work. It's always good to have fresh eyes, I think, on anything you do.
Yeah, it's I mean, I'm always interested in it. You know, my main interest for kind of examining your structure is both to kind of put out the idea to anyone listening if they want to form something like this. So we're trying to encourage, I would absolutely encourage kind of local organisation, because as I think you pointed out earlier, with crisis is very oversubscribed now.
Yeah.
And to the point where the many years I've been doing it, there are certain things you can do where basically you just spend all day talking to volunteers. You don't even talk to the guests. Yeah. I'm not criticising Crisis. They're good people, but you know, as you say, there's loads there, and the fact of the matter is, homelessness doesn't stick to the centre of the big cities anymore, as we've discussed. So it's coming out to the suburbs, which is why I'm interested in, you know, your kind of manner of organising and how it's done. Also, you know, myself and Dave come from a trade union background, so that's the kind of organising we're used to. I know also a little bit more about sort of anarchist self-organising, because I've had a few contacts in that. So
I think really in terms of as you say, kind of encouraging people to maybe start something up themselves or get involved or mention it to, you know, where they work or whatever, to try and get something started, there's almost, I think if you can get a few people, if you can get three or four people who are really passionate about doing something, that's the first, like, that's all you need really to start with. Because I think over the years, people had, you know, there's always kind of talk, isn't there? Everyone wants to do something to help, and everyone wants to be able to volunteer or to be able to host something or whatever. But often I think you get caught up in your own head of, oh, but how would we manage it long term? And, you know, are we going to get enough people? And all these natural and important worries sort of start creeping in. But it often then just puts people off doing anything, because you're kind of paralyzed by how will this work. But I think if you can get a few people who are keen to do it and are happy to spread that word and to try and get volunteers on board, and you can find a space, I would just encourage people to just give it a go. Because for the first kind of 6 months of the Welcome Centre, we didn't get much traction. You know, like, a lot of the time there'd be more volunteers there than there were guests, and I think it becomes very easy to just think, oh, is this even helping? You know, like, what's kind of the point? But you know, things do just take time to build. And I think particularly with that kind of clientele, where it is people who are homeless, or, you know, who are over here and are completely isolated away from their families, these things take time to build. But I think it's just about having like a faithful little kind of bank of people who are passionate about it and want to make that change, and then that's all you need really to get going, I would say.
Yeah, I quite agree. I definitely back up the notion of it's like being in a band, you know, stick with it, you know, because you got to keep grinding out those gigs to, you know, in the back of the pub. Yeah.
Even if you're getting heckled, you keep going.
Absolutely, especially if you're getting heckled. That's part of the fun. Okay, so that's intriguing. So the how do you interact with the local council or you know, that kind of local authority, basically? Are they an issue here, or are they nothing to do with it?
They're not really anything to do with it hugely. We have had kind of like local community police come in just to show support, and you know, that's it really. It hasn't, I think, because it's kind of been seen as sort of a church initiative as such, we haven't had a huge amount of dealings with the local council really.
Okay. And there's no you know, I don't like to trade in rumours and scare stories, but I do know of certain things over the years whereby certain, you know, of various religious centres can kind of lean on the religious point to their guests a little bit more, but you don't do any of that.
So. Oh no, absolutely not. It's completely the only thing that is sort of churched about it is the fact that it is in a church. Yes. You know, there's no kind of pushing of any agenda or anything like that, and I think it's been very important for the volunteers to make that known, that it's, you know, it's not just because you're hosting it in a church doesn't mean that you're going to get a Bible sort of pushed at you, I suppose.
I'm interested too in where it sort of goes next. So presumably we'll have another dinner at Christmas, but between now and then, what's the, are we going to kind of push into any kind of, I say we, sorry, are you going to push into any kind of more overtly political issue? Are we going to talk to petition government or say we need better housing, we need more council places, we need more, you know, organisations that can respond to people with, because I understand loneliness is and this show is quite international, so I'll just kind of point this out for the international audience. In Britain, there's quite a campaign right now against loneliness. It's become a bit of a social issue. Would the Welcome Centre and that be kind of looking to expand into something like that, or is it really just a host centre for people to come to?
I think there's definitely scope for development, definitely. And I think I mentioned earlier that we're looking at how we can be more than just a space that's open twice a week for people to drop in. But we partner up quite a lot with the, there's another local charity called Firm Foundation, which are based in South Harrow. And they do a lot with working with sort of not just clients from the Welcome Centre, but, you know, various organisations in the area, and homeless people and people who, you know, have come over from different countries maybe and don't have their papers and things like that. And they kind of deal more with getting people into jobs, getting people into homes, you know, getting them their passports or whatever the case may be. So we partner with them, and they tend to do sort of more of the practical stuff in that sense. But what we are looking more to do is have kind of more sessions that are to do with, like, kind of not life skills, that's the wrong kind of way of putting it, but courses to do with money and like ways in which people can kind of get back up on their feet. But I mean, I think we're more kind of, you know, working on at the minute anyway, just being that welcoming place and being able to signpost people on to the right places, whereas, you know, we just trying to kind of focus more on offering spaces where people can come and be welcomed and be loved, really, and supported, and then sort of put in touch with the right people. But that's not to say that that will be how it always remains, but I think that's kind of more where we're at the moment. And I think, as you say, yeah, we definitely want to have another Christmas lunch. We want that to be something that keeps going, but we're also looking at ways that we can put on more sort of events like that, whether it is, you know, a Sunday lunch once a month, or afternoon teas every so often, like, because I mean, as you saw probably at Christmas, you know, we have the space to do it, but it's just kind of, yeah, seeing what we feel is kind of right for our, as the next step, I suppose.
So I'm interested in that, because I find a lot of these things cut across different organisations that I've been connected with.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned earlier on. So the Sunday lunch thing is something that I know an organisation called Streets Kitchen that operate a lot in London, and people might know them slightly more because Christmas just gone, they did an event in Islington, but the Christmas before, 2017, on Christmas Day, they actually had a meal on Euston Station.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's them.
That's them. Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and I also went up and helped out a bit when they occupied Sophia House up in Great Portland Street. Which is a bone of contention still to some of us about why they were evicted from there. There's still nothing in there, but there you are.
A lot of the stuff is kind of looking at things that are done by these bigger organisations in these huge spaces and thinking, how can we adapt that and do something kind of similar, but maybe on a slightly smaller scale? Because, I mean, as you say, like, what the kind of stuff that the Welcome Centre is doing does cut across a lot of other organisations. We are kind of trying to do similar kind of things, but just on a more local scale, because as we were saying at the start, you know, our chat, that a lot of the time, particularly young volunteers in this area are wanting to go up and help, say, for example, at that huge lunch in Euston and things like that, because they feel like, you know, that's kind of where the issues are, when actually, you know, as we see, that it is hugely growing in Harrow, and there's opportunities to do that kind of work closer to home.
But I mean, the thing about that is, and I understand that, but I think what you point out with what the Welcome Centre is doing, which I like a great deal, is it's an all year, there's work going all year round.
Yeah.
And like you say, trying to get people back on their feet and get into, you know, self-care positions.
Yeah.
And what is perhaps a bad habit that we're all guilty of, and I feel very guilty, because I tend to manage to find the time every Christmas, and have done for many years, in order to do some help. But I find it more difficult to find it the rest of the year round.
Yeah.
And I think what people can do is just keep, like your kind of example with the Welcome Centre, just keep doing it all year round, you know?
Yeah, because I think that is the thing. And even with the Christmas lunch we had, you know, we had about sort of 70, 80 volunteers coming forward, to the point where we did have to start sort of saying, really sorry, you know, we're not going to have space for everyone. And it did, yeah. It got to, we were turning people away. But then when it comes to, you know, quite quickly after Christmas, I mentioned to a lot of those volunteers, you know, we have got the Welcome Centre, if any of you would be interested in helping out with that. And as you say, I think Christmas is a time of year where people feel that either they can find the time, or they're feeling a bit more sentimental, or whatever it is. But, you know, these issues and these people are there all year round, and need that support all year round. But I think, yeah, it's tough, because obviously people lead busy lives, and you don't want to put pressure on people. But it is, as you say, it's about kind of having stuff that is ongoing and going to move people back into places where they can help themselves.
Mm. I mean, in theory, if you had enough volunteers and it was spread out over the week, would you be able to open the centre every day? Or
yeah, potentially. Maybe not every day, but definitely more days. Definitely we could. And that has been something that we've spoken about. But I think it's just, it, I suppose it's the nature of volunteering, really, that when people can't make it, you know, you're trying to cover people's backs and things like that. So the more volunteers, the better, really, because then, you know, even the teams on the time slots that we have at the moment could do more, you know, could spend more one-on-one time with guests or whatever the case would be. But in theory, if we had enough helpers, we could be opening a lot more and doing a lot more with that as well.
Yeah, what we'll do, I'll come back in a minute to some of the more kind of practical issues about volunteering, but I just want to ask a couple more questions about wider context. So, as you mentioned earlier on, are you a registered charity, is that right?
The Welcome Centre?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Okay, but you said you got some a charity grant and you got hold of those couple of laptops, was that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Oh, okay, so you can apply for that sort of thing.
Yeah, because so Caritas, the charity that we got the money from, is a Catholic charity. It's linked to a well known charity, CAFOD, but they have they do lots of things in England and London, particularly, I suppose, for not only homeless people but people who are in situations of domestic abuse, and they do sort of a lot of young leadership programs and loads of different stuff, and they kind of, I suppose, have a bank of money, I guess, where you know, if you have something that you would need funding for or you'd need money towards, you can apply to them and they'll kind of assess it and get back to you. And it was sort of when we were starting the Welcome Centre, we had to put in a bid to them to try and get some money towards getting it all set up. And yeah, we've used some of that money for laptops and training days and things like that.
Okay, that's interesting. So I just, the thing is, I understand that a lot of organisations, certainly in the case of actual charities, but sort of otherwise, don't wish to be overtly political for a number of reasons. It's to do with kind of the organisation and not wanting to, you know, perhaps limit the people that volunteer with them or help them out. The problem I have personally now, and this is I'm just going to, you know, put my personal view on this, and feel free to, you know, say whatever else you like on this. Homelessness is deeply political, and we are living in a country of austerity, and a great deal of benefit cuts, etc. And that's all forms of benefit, including care and stuff like that. Does there come a point where, or do you think, or do you imagine, does there come a point where we can't really just carry on doing the bits that we're doing now without facing the fact that we have to get at least small p political to a degree in order to actually tackle these social issues?
I do think you're right. I think that, you know, as you say, we can't just you know, in a sense, yeah, you can't just do the small bits that you do and kind of think that's enough without thinking, you know, we've got to take this wider. But then I think, kind of as I was sort of saying before about, you know, that there's, I suppose, particularly in Harrow, but also, you know, countrywide as well, there are all these different groups that maybe are reaching out to politicians and kind of, you know, doing, sort of getting, I suppose, more politically involved. But I think the current place where we're at, obviously we're not kind of looking to do that at the moment, but, you know, as I say, you just don't know where things will go, and depending on the volunteers we get and kind of the I suppose who's involved, then we can kind of look at how we develop it. Because I mean, even though we've been going for 3 years, in terms of a volunteering not service, but I suppose opportunity, we're relatively new and kind of still sort of finding our feet in lots of different ways. But I do agree that I do think there will be a time when it has to kind of, you know, we have to be getting more involved sort of further afield. But yeah, when that will take place, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's, as I say, probably be another interesting learning curve as, yeah. as much as what you said about tonight. I find interesting as you've just kind of done it and seen where we seen what happens, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And because I mean, I think with the sort of with the nature of volunteering and things like that, I think sometimes it is just about, you just have to give it a go, really, and just and kind of see what happens, and then where that can go further down the line, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, it's. I mean, this is basically, I suppose, if there's a message I'm trying to communicate to people listening, is that if this is something like this is happening in your local area, this is what you do. You get together and you bank your skills, and you see, find a space that you can use.
Yeah.
My views on occupying unused spaces are, I'll keep those to myself for now. But that is definitely, any regular listeners know how I feel about that one. So just in regards, coming back a little bit to work, what's the practicality here? How do you volunteer? So let's just say I'm in the Harrow or next door area, and I want to, I think I'd like to volunteer with these people. What's the process?
So there's a few different ways of doing it, really. You can contact me directly, which is what most people end up doing. So all my contact details are on the website of the church that I work for. It's a bit of a mouthful, so I don't know if you can link that or something, but the Our Lady and St. Thomas of Canterbury website has my details on there. So you would just drop me an email or give me a call on that church number. And then it's just a case of, generally speaking, myself or one of the other sort of core team would meet up with you or have a phone conversation, depending on what works best for you. And then we'll organise a time where you can come into the Welcome Centre on either a Wednesday or a Saturday and kind of shadow the people there. Just get a feel for it, see if it's something that you definitely want to be involved with. Because I think that's key, that even if you just have... you're thinking, oh yeah, I might like to get involved with this, you're not sort of signed into anything or tied into anything until you've come and got a feel for it and sort of seen what we do and how it all runs. And then from there onwards, you're just added to one of the teams. So we have four teams for a Wednesday and four teams for a Saturday, and they just go in rotation. So you're added to one of those teams. And then that's pretty much it. You just come along, you get your rota, and then you come along when you're rotated on. If you want to come along more often, we've got one guy called Joe who's fantastic. He's recently retired, and he comes along to every single Wednesday session without fail, and sets up all the tea, the coffee, puts out the big banners outside the front tied to a tree. It's amazing. He's fantastic. But it's just really laid back, really. I think that the first thing you do, is just contact me, and then we can discuss kind of the context you're able to help in. Because as I say, some people can only do once a month or once every couple of months, and others can give a bit more of their time depending on their situation. So, I suppose to answer succinctly, just contact me, and then we can take that forward from there. Okay.
So, the breakdown of your average volunteers, would you say that they are, is there quite a lot of retired people, or is there people, not still active in work or what?
Yeah, it's really varied. We do have, on Wednesdays, we have quite a few retired people, but we also have a lot of younger people who are maybe kind of in between jobs or studying and figuring out what they'll be doing next. A lot of parents, really, parents from the local churches. It's very varied. It's a complete mixture, a real mixed bag.
Yeah, and the I may have mentioned this, but I'll just ask again for the hours that the centre is open on those days.
So it's from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock on the Wednesdays and the Saturdays, but we're always looking to expand that depending on who we can get.
Would there be any space for evening sessions if you had the volunteer base, if you could people you could rely on to open it up in the evenings, or is that just not practical?
mean, it's difficult for me to say because it's not sort of, I'm not from that church, so I wouldn't be opening and closing it. But I mean, speaking to Barry, who is the reverend of that church, he's very keen and open to expanding it. And I think the church itself has evening sort of groups and things going in anyway. So I suppose, yeah, if we had enough people, it could definitely be something that could be looked at. Because I think that'd be really important, actually, because I suppose a lot of places are open for breakfasts or lunches, but it can be a bit trickier to get stuff in the evenings.
Many thanks, Holly. In regards to the contact number for Holly, it's 07724362853, or you can email Holly at hollycook@rcdow.org.uk. I was just looking at the stats, which is it's quite sad. I think 2017, there were 400 fatalities in England and Wales, homeless. I don't know if it's made a difference where you are, Holly. I mean, the Homeless Reduction Act, where local councils are compelled to reduce the homeless. I mean, how do you feel that we now have a law that says finally tackles or attempts to tackle the homeless? And how do we, or certainly how does the church feel that we now have a minister for poverty? We have a minister for homeless.
I think, yeah, I mean, the church, obviously, it's been, I think, because we know, obviously, that now there is the bill passed that, you know, the local councils have to get involved and to be more compelled to help people. It seems that's something that's moving in the right direction, or should be moving in the right direction. But, I mean, it's, as we mentioned earlier, it doesn't feel, we haven't really I personally haven't noticed, you know, a huge amount of difference in the local area. So I suppose, I don't know, it's good that there's stuff that's being kind of put in place, but I mean, me personally, I'm not really seeing a huge difference or a huge change in Harrow, at least.
Yeah, I was going to, me and John regularly talk about, or we tackle the regular, inaccurate means mainstream media coverage of immigrants. I mean, is there a huge increase in immigrant homelessness in Harrow, or all the volunteer work? Thank you for that and your volunteers. But have you seen an increase in that, or a large percentage of immigrant homelessness?
Yeah, there has been, and I think particularly, leading up to the Christmas lunch, I think it's felt like there's been quite an increase, and lots of immigrant families as well, kind of coming to the Welcome Centre at the weekends and staying for the whole time that it's open. But yeah, I mean, there seems to have been an increase, definitely.
Yeah, because we did interview Pamela Fitzpatrick. She's the prospective MP for Harrow East, and she runs a free law centre in Harrow. And she does mention, just from a legal point of view, of immigrant families, and I would imagine that organisations or volunteers like yourself, that also would have an impact in regards to visas and families split in two, really, due to overseas conflict.
Yes.
And I would imagine you would see the impact of that, right?
Yeah, it's, and I mean, it is particularly difficult, I suppose, because a lot of the time we'll have like mothers and children come to the Welcome Centre who've been separated from their fathers and their husbands, and it is so difficult, because I think particularly sort of in what we do, we're not really in a position to, we don't really know what to do with that. And as I mentioned, Firm Foundation, another local charity in South Harrow, kind of work to try and reunite people and figure all that out. But it's really sad, and I think it does leave you feeling quite helpless sometimes, because they're kind of issues that are, you know, maybe feel a little bit more out of your reach, sort of a little bit more difficult to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listening to the interview that John did with Pamela, it seems that to get round that legally, I think you've got to jump through hoops. And also the scaremongering amongst the mainstream media. You mentioned I'm branch secretary for our branch, our own district, and I mean I have to speak to people, lonely people, as branch secretary. You know, I'm talking about our members who are meaningfully employed with good terms and conditions, have a house, but sometimes you get cases of depression and loneliness, and certainly Christmas time, I speak to a lot of members who are suffering because of bereavement and stuff like that, but I can't begin to imagine some of the stuff that you would probably get to hear or see. How do you deal with that?
It's been something really that we've had to look at more closely over the last sort of year or so, with our volunteers from the Welcome Centre, because we do have a high number of people who are just feeling completely isolated for whatever reason, and you know, they come and offload on the volunteers, and it's, you know, it varies, because I think sometimes people do want to come and share everything that's getting them down, but other times our volunteers just sit with them and just chat and kind of connect, and that can be enough to kind of to pull someone to a place where they feel a little bit better. But it is heartbreaking, some of the things that you hear, and the volunteers can often come away feeling quite down, really, and you know, desperate, because you think, you know, yeah, you can open the doors, you can put things on, you can connect with these people for the time that you can, but I suppose it's your human desire, isn't it, to be able to help people out of these situations. But it's, I think the main thing that we have learned is that just being a presence for people, and because we have sort of more, we have a lot more regular guests coming back now who have gotten to know all the teams, so feel like they have a bit of a community. And so now, kind of initially, they were coming in and wanting to offload and feeling really down and desperate, but it's gotten to a place now where it's a place where people can just come and connect and get to know one another. You know, lots of the guests are now friends, you know, and will meet outside of the centre. And so I think it's important to, for us anyway, to try and remember all the positive things that are coming from the situation, because I think it can be really easy to get sort of bogged down by thinking, you know, how many people are in this this epidemic, I suppose, of loneliness and isolation. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's not an easy answer, really.
And it's a little bit like what's happening in Los Angeles for many, many, many years, in that the church has taken on a massive role in the US on the homeless and in the impoverished communities in Los Angeles. And I'm Harrow, which is local to us. I can't believe we're talking about this in Harrow. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, but again, me and John and the branch would just like to thank you.
I'd also obviously like to thank Holly for being on the show. In closing, go on, pick a song. I'll let you go on.
I don't know. Maybe can I have some like Luther Vandross? Fantastic! What a perfect end.
So Holly, thanks very much for your time, and thank you for what you do.
John Bowles, John the Rage on Tracks FM. Tracks FM.
myself. I don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love fantasy. There's not a minute, hour, day or night that I don't love you. You're at the top of my list, cause I'm always thinking of you. I still remember in the days when I was scared to touch you, how I spent my day dreaming, planning how to say I love you. You must have known that I had feelings deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come in. Oh my love, a thousand kisses from you is never too much. I just don't wanna stop. Oh my love, a million days in your arms is never too much. I just don't wanna stop.
Too much, never too much, never too much, never too much. Just to get me started, I called you up but you weren't there and I was broken hearted. Hung up the phone, can't be too late, the boss is so demanding. Opened the door up and to my surprise there you were standing. Who needs to go to work to hustle for another dollar? I'd rather be with you cause you make my heart scream and holler. Love is a gamble and I'm so glad that I am winning. We've come a long way and yet this is only the beginning. Oh my love, a thousand kisses from you. Never too much, never too much. Woke up today, looked at your picture just to get me started. Called you up but you weren't there and I was broken hearted. Hung up the phone, can't be too late, the boss is so demanding. Opened the door up and to my surprise there you were standing. Who needs to go to work to hustle for another dollar? I'd rather be with you cause you make my heart scream and holler. Love is a gamble and I'm so glad.